Welcome to A Piece of My Mind, a podcast that uses storytelling to bridge divides and build community. Today I'm talking with Jan Selby, a filmmaker from St. Paul, Minnesota, and we're recording this podcast live in front of an audience just before screening her film, Beyond the Divide.
Thank you.
If I didn't know anything about you at all, what would you want me to know?
You told me you were going to ask me that question. I said, I think that's the hardest question on the list tonight.
It's all going to get easier from here.
Yes. I think it would probably be that this was my first feature film, and how I came to filmmaking is kind of a unique story, which is I was in corporate marketing and communications, some big companies for 25 years, and had a consulting company. And I started having this really growing sensation that I was supposed to be making documentary films. And it was not logical or rational, but it was real. And I kept kind of putting it away because it didn't really make sense. And I always enjoyed documentary films a lot, but it's one thing to watch them, it's another thing to make them. But then I actually had someone in my life die unexpectedly at a pretty young age, my uncle, he was in a small plane crash, actually, and he was 62 and ready to retire and enjoy his life that he was working for decades to enjoy. And it was actually the first experience I had that really made me experience my mortality in a deeper way than I ever had before. And I had this sense that if I think there's something I'm supposed to be doing, I better do it now because I don't know how long I'll be here. And so I'm kind of a planner by nature, so I took a couple years to figure it out and how to do it. And I jumped into being a filmmaker and did it somewhat strategically so I could learn from some other people and offer skills I had to help them. And then I started making films. So I started with a short film about the history of the peace symbol.
Circle in Three Lines.
A Circle in Three Lines, which, yep. Just like any artist, when you look back at your first work, maybe it's not your best, but you know you have to go through those steps.
It's a step in the process.
Right,
yeah.
To learn. So, but that film brought me to this story, and so this was my first feature, and I've made one other feature film since then.
I have to say, I have considered making a film for A Piece of My Mind, and every time I get close to saying yes, it scares the hell out of me because it's such a big process. But you said yes.
Yep.
Was this the movie you thought you set out to produce?
Well, I like to say documentary filmmaking is a lot like life, where you have a plan, which is good to have. It's good to have goals. And along the way, nothing goes as expected.
And the plan changes.
The plan, yes. And you react and respond and create new plans. And then you keep moving forward, and often where you end up is even better than where you set out to be. So I would say, but you couldn't have imagined it when you started. And so I would say that's happened in my life, and it definitely happened in making this film.
And if you pay attention, you can find the path.
Yeah, and sometimes the path finds you.
Yeah. So how does this work? How long does it take? I'm going to start this movie. How long until it screens the first time?
I don't think you know that even. I think when I started making this film, I thought it would be 2 years, and it ended up being 4 years. And
wow.
Part of that was because I raised money and then would use it to work on the film and then run out of money and raise more money to work on the film. You probably can relate to this, John.
It sounds a little familiar,
yes.
Yeah. Sounds exactly like making books.
Yes, exactly. And it's a lot of creative endeavors like that. But you take what you have and you use it. And then you have that to show what you're capable of, and more people get interested, and you can raise money a little more easily, maybe. And then in this film, so you gave something away in the film. I want you to know that
Don't say it again.
I won't say it again, but sometimes people don't know that at the beginning. But I will say that the first half of this film is what I knew would happen. I knew I would find characters that were interesting to interview, and I knew I would do my best to figure out the mystery of the peace sign being painted. Hmm. Everything that happened after that, I had no idea was going to happen.
Oh.
And I think it's what makes the film. So the process of making a film is one of learning and letting go and seeing what happens a lot.
So that's sort of my next question, but maybe there's more to that. What did you learn in the process of doing this, of tackling this huge project and seeing it through to the end?
Wow. I learned to trust my instincts. I learned how generous people can be in so many ways to support a project. I learned that sometimes creative endeavors almost call you forward to them. And I learned deeply to set aside preconceived notions that I had had about why someone would choose to go to war. And I developed a much greater respect for all the kinds of service that people do in the world, including military service, which before I hadn't really appreciated the depth of heart that for some people goes into that. And that there are many ways to serve. Both Betsy and Dan have lived lives of service. And so I think this film really expanded my thoughts about what that means.
I love that. This question was not on our list. I hope you'll excuse me. This is for personal therapy reasons I'm asking you. How, when you go down a path like this for a creative project, I heard from a friend that sometimes there's a lot of self-doubt involved. Maybe I've experienced some self-doubt myself with a piece of my mind. How did you know, and how did you continue to believe that this was worth seeing through?
That's a great question. I think self-doubt is part of the process of being alive, actually. I think that's another thing I learned from making this film, though, was that just because I had doubt and fear, it didn't mean I wasn't on the right path. You know, it's like I had it so often and then kept going and discovered that I was glad that I did keep going, that I started to kind of consider them as companions along the journey, but not evidence that I was on the wrong path.
So you could see a pattern.
Yes, because I would be scared and I would think, you know, I didn't have the skills. This was my first film. In fact, this might sound a little bit funny to say about it, but when things started happening that I hadn't expected, which is in the second half of this film, I actually started, my intention initially was, I'm just going to make a good film. You know, my first film, I'll just practice. This would be my first feature film, and it'll be okay, and I'll be proud, and then I'll go on to make something maybe more important. Mm-hmm. And when certain things started happening, I actually thought often, I should not be the one making this film. Someone with more experience should be capturing this, because I knew what was happening was very powerful and had a lot of potential to make a difference. And I felt very unqualified. And so even though I kept going, I often thought, boy, someone else should be telling this story, because I just have never done this before. And maybe someone else could amplify the story in a way maybe better than I trusted I could at the time when it was happening. But that was part of the self-doubt and fear that I just said, okay, the reality is I'm the one here. There is no one else that is doing this. And so I'm just going to do the best I can. And then I will, whatever happens, know that I didn't give up and I did the best I could.
And I think you did it beautifully.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. It's been almost 10 years since you made the movie, and I think it's fair to say that the world has gotten a little more rancorous in those 10 years. Is there some sort of enduring hope that you see in this story in particular?
It's funny because when I finished the film at the time, that was in 2014, people said, wow, we really need this film. And little did we know what was coming.
Yeah.
So I think I continue to feel that the message is really important. Having had the privilege of becoming friends with Dan and Betsy and be able to tell their story really gave me hope and still does that it's up to each of us to be role models in our own lives. And that's how we can make a difference, is how we each choose to live our life. As you mentioned, Betsy said, we really can't change other people. We all need to come to our own conclusions and how we want to live and how open-minded we want to be on our own. But we can be role models. And when we make mistakes, we can admit to them and maybe apologize to other people and grow from the experience and maybe be better next time around.
I love that. You're wearing a special necklace tonight. Can you share that with us?
I'd love to. So since I know you have this podcast recording, I'll describe it. So I'm wearing a necklace that is two puzzle pieces. They're kind of small, but this was a gift from Dan and Betsy when I completed the film. And one piece has a peace sign on the front and engraved on the front, and Betsy's name is on the back. And the other piece has the army emblem with the eagle on the front, and it has Dan's name on the back. And these two pieces fit together, like two puzzle pieces fit together like this. And my favorite thing about this necklace is imagining Dan and Betsy going to the mall in Missoula. They did together.
It engraved.
They went to like one of those little engraving places and picked it out. And I just love this image of Dan and Betsy walking through the mall, picking this out. And it was very, very sweet of them. And it's very meaningful to me because it represents each of these pieces are complete on their own and beautiful on their own, but they fit together perfectly. And when they're together, you know, they make something that couldn't be created by each individual piece. And so I like to think it's a good analogy about what we human beings can do together by being ourselves and also working together.
I love that. In the closing credits at the very end, there's some text that asks the viewer, what will you do to go beyond the divide? What do you hope that people take away from this film?
I think the film has the potential to be healing for people, no matter what our backgrounds are. Whether it is, in this case, two people who had really different experiences during the Vietnam War time, or whether it's today, where we all know that what's gone on politically has really created bigger divides that weren't there before, not as big, I think. So I think we tend to live in bubbles, and it takes real intention to reach out beyond those bubbles. And so I guess my hope is that the film will inspire people to think for themselves about what they can do in their life, to take small steps to reach out to people who are different from them, and to put their own thinking aside, to listen deeply to the humanity in someone else so they can look to find what's common and focus on what's common more than what's different.
You're talking my language.
I know that. I think that's why you invited me here, John.
I think it is. What I really love in the film that I think people will see is that each of these people took a risk sort of within their own contingencies to reach out to the other side. That there, you know, there was some pressure and there was some uncertainty about whether it was worth it to reach out to the other side, but both of them were committed, and I think that's what's so beautiful about it. Because of what A Piece of My Mind is, and because this is the question we ask everybody that we have a chance to, I will close with this for you. What does peace mean to you, Jan?
That's such a simple question, John.
And why is it so hard to answer?
Yes, no, I think it's a challenging question. I think it's a question I'm always asking myself, but I'm pretty clear that it's about who I am, and it starts with me. It's not an original thought, but I think it's a true thought that the more I can feel peaceful inside, the more I can be peaceful with others. And again, if I can do my best to live with compassion and care and love, then I can hopefully spread those things, and to me they're all very much part of peace.
Well, you've given us a great gift by bringing the film into the world and by bringing it to us tonight, so thank you for that, and thanks for taking the time to talk.
Well, thank you for the invitation. It's a
Jan
gift to
Selby,
be here.
Everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much to John and A Piece of My Mind for inviting me to be here today. It was a real pleasure to work on that film with Jan all those years back, and it's fun to see that it still lives on. You never know what happens to the work that you do, so just try to do a good job and try not to be an a-hole to others. So that's the motto that I live by. This is the song from the title track from the film here, Beyond the Divide. Standing in the mountain air, looking down on everywhere, dividing a town in two. And somewhere on the road was traveled where we met. I saw something in you, despite searching for a better way. Everyone has something they need to say, and the view gets pretty gray. I thought I'd never see them the way they must have seen themselves, waiting on an empty well, ringing like a broken bell. And I've been waiting for this moment to arrive, to meet the enemy and who they are inside. Slowly same kind. Thank you. Thanks.
I know it's getting late, but just for a couple of minutes, I want to bring Jan up to do a little bit of Q&A. If you guys have any questions, you just got to see an amazing film. You have a chance to ask the filmmaker a couple of questions, and then we'll be off. Any questions for Jan?
I thought of two things that I might start with.
Oh.
An update since the film was made.
Oh, just a minute. Hang on.
Okay.
Wait.
Oh, do you?
This?
Oh, you, thank you for having that.
Tell us what happened here, Jan.
Oh my goodness. So, is this part of your podcast? Should we describe what I'm looking at?
Yeah, just tell us quickly.
Okay, so we're looking at a beautiful image of the pieces that are reassembled, and that is currently behind the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center in Missoula. So if you go through Missoula and go to the Peace Center, you can see, and that happened, I believe, about a year ago. I'm not exactly sure when. It was a big engineering feat, and so part of it was raising money to create the structure that would hold the pieces, because they're very heavy, and so...
But they put it back together.
It's there together now in Missoula, so
that's
very
awesome.
Exciting, yes.
Anybody have a question?
What did Dan die of?
I'm going to repeat the question.
Sure.
For the sake of the podcast. What did Dan die of?
So it was complications from surgery, but it really was from exposure to Agent Orange.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was. I was able to be with him for a few days in the hospital. I am deeply grateful for the friendship I had with Dan. I had never had a friend that was so different from me in my life. And as you can tell, he was pretty amazing. And so I feel very lucky to have gotten to know him and earned his trust and to have given him the gift. Before he died, he said to me that this film was one of the best things that ever happened to him. And I think you can tell he's a very humble person. And to be able to... highlight how special he was a gift for me in my life, and it was incredible to realize that I could create something that would make someone so happy and know that when he died, his legacy lives on in the film.
Hmm. What else? Yeah, Kelly.
Is it possible to access the film?
Yes.
Is it possible to access the film, Jan?
It is. I have good news. As of today, the film is now free. So if you go to beyondthedividefilm.com at the website, it used to be a minor fee for renting it or buying it, but as of today, it's now free. So you can share it with anyone. And there are other resources on the website that might help facilitate a discussion. I know it's been used in classrooms, at churches, at mosques, in all kinds of community organizations. I think it's particularly valuable, not just for all of us, but for young people, because you know so much of this history is just history that doesn't really come alive very easily unless somebody who's been there shares their experience. And so Dan, I think, and Betsy do a great job of telling a part of history that is fading, for particularly for young people, you know.
Thanks for mm-hmm. asking that question, Kelly. Yeah.
It's quite an accomplishment just how you were able to be present in all those key moments to tell the story the way that you did. I'm curious to know, when you first had a public showing of it, who was the audience?
So thank you. Yeah, thank you for raising the microphone.
I think you're growing.
I must be.
Hang on.
Just.
Is that all right?
Yeah, and I'll just get close to it. John's been training me on how to be close to this microphone.
I'm not doing a very good job.
Well, no, yes, thank you.
Okay, let me repeat the question, sure. Except you have to repeat the question because I was focused on her microphone. Who was the audience
so
on
that's
that first
interesting.
Public showing?
That kind of gets to what I spoke about earlier, that you don't know where a film's going to go, like life. You don't know where it's going to go. Because when I started making the film, I thought I was just finding two interesting people who provided different points of view. And I was very proud of myself because when I first went to Missoula, no one would tell me who painted that sign. And it was still a mystery. Only a few people in town knew. And I, over a couple years, earned the trust of a few key people. They gave me the phone numbers. I earned the trust of the painters and paid for them to come to Missoula so they could revisit the location. And so I thought, though, the film would be of interest with just that information. And then we started editing the film. And then one day, Dan calls me and says, you know, I'm thinking about inviting Betsy to be in the radio studio with me. What do you think? And I said, amazing idea, and we need a camera there, please. And by that point, I had actually run out of money that I had raised. So I was very lucky that the cinematographer, Elgin Smith, and his wife is a field producer. They lived in Missoula. So I was able to say to them, it's called field directing, basically telling them what to do. Could you please be there? This is what's important. And I was not able to be there. But they were able to film and interview both Dan and Betsy after the radio program. And I thought, okay, great, this is amazing. I think now the film's done. And then I get a call from Dan and said, you know, I think I might invite Betsy to speak at Veterans Day. And of course I called Elgin and his wife Sarah and said, I think I have another assignment for you. I, again, could not afford to be there. It's very expensive to fly to Missoula. And I had made myself a promise as a filmmaker that I would not dip into my personal savings. I would raise my own money and work really hard to do that and pretty much not charge for my own time. But I was not going to, you know, go into my personal retirement savings and or that would be future retirement. So they were there. They filmed it. And that was unbelievable. And so I thought, we're done with the film. And then Betsy calls me one day and says, you'll never believe who is getting the Peacemaker of the Year. And of course, I start crying after each of these calls because I was just so touched. And this is what it's like to make a film. I did not know what would happen. And so the film wasn't done. So we had to also be there, but I also couldn't be there. So I was felt like I missed like some of the best moments of the film, but luckily I was there through all the footage and could look through it all and everything and pick what we would use. And at that point, I thought, I don't know what else is going to happen, but we're done making the film. This is enough amazing events that I knew that it would, I could complete the story. It kind of had a beautiful ending. So then, to get to the answer to your question, so when I started making the film and raising money, you know, I thought it was only the first story. I didn't know what was going to happen, and so initially, the money was primarily from the peace community in Missoula, who loved that peace sign. And as it evolved, you know, it was really up to me as a director to make the film that I wanted to make. And the initial vision was to make a film that would facilitate and inspire conversations, open-mindedness, dialogue, treating others with respect who might not believe the way you do. So I thought, well, the story and the purpose of the film and the mission of the film and the vision was really still accomplished. I was a little concerned that the peace community might not, I didn't know how they would respond. So then I was kind of like the characters. I needed to be courageous and make the film I thought needed to be made, knowing I was unsure about the reaction. And so when it was, the first time it was screened was at the Missoula Documentary Film Festival, the Big Sky Documentary Film Festival in 2014. And they have a beautiful old restored theater there. And the name of it is skipping my mind, but there are 800 people can be there. And it was being shown, and a lot of the people there were people who had donated. And I also had received grants from Humanities Montana and some other places. But I was really nervous because I didn't know if some of the original people who were incredible supporters from the beginning and who trusted me were going to feel like it was the film that they were proud of being part of. But it was a really wonderful experience. And I was able to bring Dan and Betsy up on stage afterwards to do a Q&A. And I think the town of Missoula was pretty happy with what it was, because I also wanted to honor the uniqueness of that community. And it is a special place. Yeah. Long answer, but there's a lot there to say. Yeah.
One last question. How did you become inspired to tell this story?
So my first film was A Circle in Three Lines, and it was about the history of the peace symbol, and it was right around the 50th anniversary, short little film. But that film was picked up by the Big Sky Documentary Film Festival. You can understand why. I did not know when I was invited to have the film show in the Big Sky Documentary Film Festival that there was such an extensive relationship that went so deep with the peace symbol. I thought, well, they just liked the film. And when I got there and I learned about this story, people started saying to me, well, this is amazing because, you know, we love the Missoula peace sign as part of our history. I had no idea what they were talking about, but they thought everybody in the world knew about it. And so when I started learning, I remember saying, has anyone made a film about this? Because it just, I thought, was just an incredible story on so many levels. And they said, no. I said, why? And they said, well, you know, one person I was talking to, I remember, said, maybe someone from outside the community has to make it because it's just so deep, you know, deeply part of us. And I had one of those, like, ta-da, lights go off in my head. And it was just this sense deeply. It was kind of a calling, feeling like, I think I'm supposed to make this film. And that's kind of how it happened. So I started talking to people and learning and earning their trust, and then going back to Missoula to raise money. And I went back to Missoula 7 times over about 2 years, and then the film took more time as these new events happened. I want to mention one other thing that often comes up, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Thank you. People often say, do you think you influenced what happened? That's a question that comes up a lot. And it's one of these questions that come up as a documentary filmmaker, because in theory, you don't want to be influencing, you know, what you're documenting. And so that question kind of bothered me a little, because I don't know, you don't want to think that you're influencing anything as a documentary filmmaker. And you know that the reality is you are a new factor that you are adding to relationships and other things. So I decided to ask Betsy and Dan. And what they told me, I don't know if they were telling me this just to make me feel better, but I don't think so. But they said, you know, I think what happened would have happened anyway. I think just you being in the community and you interviewing us and getting us thinking about things and talking about things accelerated the process. Mm-hmm. So that's what I like to believe. And I trust both of them, so I'll believe it.
I like it. I'm glad that you heard the call to make the movie. I'm glad that you said yes to that call, and thank you for sharing it with us tonight.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.